हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So now we have that Sanjaya has delivered Krishna's message to the Kurus, and then Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra makes some points. Duryodhana gets upset. He talks about his glories as if he's like such a great personality controlling the universe. And Karna gets up and speaks, how he'll do everything. And then Bhishma laughs and derides Karna because he's so foolish. And then Karna makes the point, if you're on the battlefield, I won't fight. Only if you're killed, then I will. When you stop fighting, then I will fight. Like this. So that leaves us now in the discussion, in the court. Karna stormed out of the hall. Bhishma laughed again and turned towards Duryodhana. The Suta's son is a man who keeps his word. How will he now fulfill his promise to wipe out the enemy troops? Right? Because he keeps his word. But now he said he's not going to fight as long as I'm on the battlefield. So now how is he going to get rid of the Pandavas and everything and all that? He just says, a fine friend you have here, right? In this assembly, I heard him say, all of you here shall be the witness. I will again and again kill thousands and tens of thousands of enemy soldiers. How will he act upon it now? He is passionate and arrogant. At the very moment he cheated the holy Rishi Parasuram, he lost all virtue and ascetic merits. So that's the difficulty. That's why Bhishma calls him a Suta's son. And because of this, how he behaves, that's why the Pandavas call him a Suta's son. Even though, they're not saying that he won't be there and fight in the battle. They're not saying he's not a Kshatriya, he's running his kingdom, he's the king of Anga, and all these things. So as far as what duties he does, in other words, his karma is that of a Kshatriya, but his guna is that of a son of a Suta, a chariot driver. He's not qualified. Like that. Not that chariot drivers can't be great personalities and great devotees, but they're pointing out that his behavior is not good, his character is not good. Duryodhana was perplexed by Karna's sudden departure, but maintaining a calm appearance, again asserted that he depended on no one, right? Because he's saying, basically that he makes everything work. My kingdom is running perfectly because of me, rather than, no, you follow the rules and then you get the results. It's like going to the store and you put down money and you bought something, and so I control this store. See, I came into the store, I gave money, they gave me what I want. I'm in control of this store. That's how foolish he is. Like that. Whether or not Karna aided him, he would soon face the Pandavas and win. That's his idea. When the prince finally stopped boasting, Vidura rose from his seat and began to tell a story. There was once a fowler who set a net in the forest to capture birds. Right? A fowler means you have hunters, but hunters, they hunt anything that moves. But fowlers specifically are hunters who catch birds. Right? So hunter is more a general term. Just like if you hunt fish, you call the fisherman. Like that. Set a net in the forest to capture birds. Two large birds were trapped in the net, but they rose up in the sky, carrying the net with them. The fowler saw this and ran after them. As he ran, an ascetic saw him and said, "How strange that one who moves by his feet on the earth should run after those who wander in the sky." The fowler replied, "These birds united have been able to take my net, but they will fall down when they quarrel." Sure enough, before long, the two birds began to fight. And they dropped to earth where the fowler caught and killed them. In the same way, brothers who fight one another are soon overpowered by death. O Duryodhana, cousin brothers should enjoy life together, eating and sporting, but never quarreling. Right, so his point is because of this quarrel between the cousins, then there's going to be destruction. Like that. The birds work together, they flew off, but then one wants to go this way, one wants to go that way, so then they fight, and so they fall to the ground, and then the fowler catches them. Vidura confirmed that what had already been said of the Pandavas' power, trying to dissuade Duryodhana from war. The prince said nothing. He already knew Vidura's opinion, and Vidura obviously favored the Pandavas, right? So in other words, if you don't 100% support him, you favor the Pandavas. If you're just pointing out, maybe it's not a good plan. You know, you're holding this brick in such a way it can drop on your toe. Oh, you don't support me? You know, that kind of thing. It was clear that the assembly had nothing more to say. Sanjaya had delivered the Pandavas' messages, and the Kurus had replied. Dhritarashtra's pathetic calls for peace were useless if he did not return even a portion of Yudhishthira's kingdom to him. Right, so he's not going to do it. Dhritarashtra won't do anything. He's simply imploring his son to give back the kingdom, to make peace. He won't do it because he's just going to follow his son. Never once had he indicated that he was willing to do this. You know, he did make the point to tell his son that he's wrong, but he never in any case indicated that he would, as the king, make the decision. He still left it up to his son. Therefore, unless Krishna was able to change his mind, there would be war. One by one, the kings and ministers left the hall. At last, Dhritarashtra sat alone with Sanjaya. Having heard everyone's opinions publicly expressed, the king now wanted to hear his secretary's opinion. Did he think there was any chance of the Kurus winning the war? Sanjaya had seen both sides and was able to assess their respective strengths. Although Sanjaya had already stated that he saw little hope for the Kurus, still the king hoped that in private he would give him a clue as to how they might win. Right, so he's thinking, okay, he didn't say much in the public thing like that, but maybe on his own, you know, because of the relationship, he'll say something to me, and with that, with my intelligence, then we'll be able to figure something else. Sanjaya was worried that if he spoke alone to the king, his opinion might not be taken seriously. He knew that Dhritarashtra felt he was inclined towards Pandu's sons. He therefore asked if he could call for Vyasadeva, who was present at the time in the palace. If Dhritarashtra saw that the wise Rishi agreed with Sanjaya's opinion, perhaps he would take it more seriously. The king agreed and also invited his wife Gandhari to be present, right? Because then if a sage comes, then it's always an auspicious time for everybody. So he brings his wife, so she also gets the benefit. When both Vyasadeva and Gandhari had taken their seats near the king, Sanjaya turned to address his spiritual master. Oh my lord, please grant me permission to speak to the king in your presence. He has asked about the Pandava's strength. Vyasadeva lifted his right hand in blessing. Oh Sanjaya, you should tell him everything about Krishna, for he is the Pandava's real power. With his folded hands, Sanjaya said, O king, you have again and again asked about the strengths and weaknesses of the Pandavas. Their strength can be measured simply by measuring that of Govinda, for his strength knows no limits. The entire world placed on one side and Janardhan on the other, then he would surpass the world on the point of strength. He can reduce the earth and all its creatures to ashes in a moment, right? Even though Duryodhana said he can do the same, right? There is no truth. Now, where there is righteousness and virtue, where there is modesty and where there is humility, there you will find Krishna. And where there is Krishna, there will be victory. He is the soul of all beings come to this world as if in play. The Pandavas are merely the instruments of his desire. That all-powerful being desires to annihilate all the miscreants and irreligious elements in the world. O king, your sons are such an element. So he's pointing out that this war is actually about destroying all the evil elements that are there. So they will be destroyed. So if there's not a war, you know, like that, it means he can destroy everyone. So he's brought them all together. Dhritarashtra reached out for his wife's hand and held it tightly. Sanjaya went on, Keshava is the lord of time, of death, and of moving and non-moving beings. Appearing as an ordinary man by his own illusion,
He comes to this world. Those who know him are not deceived. The old monarch was curious to hear more about Krishna. He had always known that his secretary accepted Krishna as the supreme deity. Sanjaya was Vyasadeva's disciple, who himself worshipped Krishna, right? So that's there. Vidura worshipped Krishna, Bhishma worshipped Krishna. But he's never taken it so seriously before. So by this association and that mood of surrender, even though that it's a mood in fear, and so it doesn't have a purpose other than removing the fear. But if you can get enough association, then that fear can turn into, as you get a taste in Krishna consciousness, into something positive, and you can move forward. Right? The king was not sure. Krishna was certainly extraordinary. It was astonishing how he had killed so many powerful demons. And the rishis all extolled him as the original divinity. Yet he appeared so human, as I mentioned before, by his own illusory potency. The king asked, "How is it that you accept Krishna as the supreme god? Why do you know him as such and I do not? Please explain this to me if you feel it is appropriate, Sanjaya." Right, because it's something more hidden. It's your own particular determination. So he said, if it's appropriate, tell them why you have this kind of understanding and faith and I don't. "Those who are too attached to matter cannot know that great personality," Sanjaya replied. "To them he remains a mystery, or they simply do not accept his existence as God." Right? So either he's not God, they don't care, like Duryodhana and like that. Karna at least says he's greater than everybody's saying is. You know, they're just pointing out that he's powerful, and, you know, Narayan Rishi, they defeat everybody, but he's saying, no, he's greater than that. And then here, then he's saying how he's, you know, beyond all of that. So then, for those who, you know, may not be inimical towards Krishna, he's just a mystery, like that. I am not enamored of material things, and I have kept my desires in check. At the same time, I carefully study the Vedas and faithfully hear from holy men, such as my spiritual master Vyasadeva. Thus, I have been able to know Keshava in some part. You too may acquire this knowledge, O King. Take shelter of Krishna, for he is your best well-wisher. Do not despise him or his advice. Your foolish son has no faith in Krishna and will lead you and the Kurus to destruction. So he's pointing out is, even at this point, if you take up the devotional process and all that, then you also will know Krishna. You can no more, because he's not supposed to be inimical to Krishna, he's just very attached. So he becomes bewildered. Gandhari nodded in agreement. Our wicked-minded son will certainly bring destruction upon us all. He is envious and vain and never listens to his elders' advice. After enhancing the joy of evil men and my grief, he will die at Bhima's hands. Only then will he remember his father's words. Vyasadeva, seated on an elevated seat spread with silk cushions, said, O King, you are dear to Krishna. Listen to my advice. Hear carefully from Sanjaya. He can tell you the path by which Krishna can be known and accepted as one's shelter. Only due to excessive desire and hatred are men denied knowledge of God. Coveting wealth and fame in this world, almost all men are fully absorbed in illusion. Thus they come under the control of death again and again. A wise man therefore gives up all attachments and takes to the path. A wise man therefore gives up all attachments and takes to the path of liberation, which leads ultimately to Krishna. Dhritarashtra asked Sanjaya, so the path of liberation just means going out of the material world. And once you get out, you keep going to Krishna. Some get out and stop there and they're satisfied, but that's not enough because they'll come back. But if you continue that inquiry and service to Krishna, then you'll keep going. Dhritarashtra asked Sanjaya to describe that path. After bowing before Vyasadeva, Sanjaya said, "Sense control is the beginning of the path. Performance of sacrifice without sense control will not allow you to know God." Right? So if you just do your ritual very nicely, but your whole purpose is the result and sense gratification, you won't know God. But you perform your duties and you know whatever sacrifice is there in with the senses controlled to please the Lord, then you can start to know the Lord. Renunciation of sensual desires arises from the awakening of true knowledge, which is born of wisdom. Wisdom is gained by experience and by hearing from the wise. True wisdom means controlling the senses. One with controlled senses will experience pleasure within as he proceeds on the path of self-realization. By this path, you can attain Keshava, O King. Follow that path with a genuine desire to know and please that most ancient of deities, and success will be assured. Dhritarashtra asked his secretary to tell him more about Krishna's attributes and qualities. Sanjaya told him of Krishna's various names and their different meanings that describe him as a creator, sustainer, and ultimately destroyer of everything material and spiritual. Yeah, technically, spiritual is not destroyed. You could say he's the ultimate controller of everything material and spiritual. After hearing these descriptions, Dhritarashtra became thoughtful. He dismissed Sanjaya. After Vyasadeva had also left, he sat alone with his wife. The old king was perplexed. He could not deny Krishna's supremacy. Sanjaya's descriptions, supported by Vyas, were lucid and thorough. It was obvious that opposing Krishna and those backed by him was sure to end in defeat. But if it was Krishna's desire that the Kurus be destroyed, then what could he do, right? So he doesn't think, oh, if he wants them to be destroyed, what can I do? He doesn't think that I can move forward and I could develop some, you know, that attraction, attachment for Krishna, and I could give up doing those things that are you know, that are improper to do. And he never thinks that. He just thinks, this is what I'm going to do, and then it's up to God, then he gives the result or not, what can I do? He's saying, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to change, so then whatever God wills, what can we do? It's fate, it's this and that. Yes, because you're doing this, you change and do something else, the results are different. It seemed that his actions were all useless in the face of the Lord's divine plan. Right, because then it's like, you know, oh, well, what can I do? It's not me. You know, in other words, you try to control everything, and if it doesn't work, then you make yourself the victim. What can I do, you know, as others? Dhritarashtra sat sighing and holding his head. Did Krishna really desire that his sons, relatives, and friends all be annihilated? Right? Why would he want them all killed? No, why are they all behaving so badly? Right? In other words, those who are impious, then that has to end so that the pious people can move forward. Otherwise, the universe is designed so that people can reawaken their you know, means take up the path of self-realization and reawaken their love for Krishna. But if they don't do this, then of course, then they'll have to change bodies and try again. Why then was he coming to Hastinapur to establish peace? You know, because if he wanted this, then why would he be doing? Why would he want peace? It was a mystery. The blind man could not unravel. We have more time?
I think it means we have like another minute, but if it's the end of the chapter, I think it's in.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll just want to... So, it's been pointed out before that, you know, he destroys the you know, the impious and establishes the pious, and so then if that's the case and his sons are the impious and they're supposed to be destroyed, why would it be coming to make peace? But the point is, it's the pastimes. It's their decision. And so because they're making the decision in this way. So if Dhritarashtra makes the decision differently, but Duryodhana does, then, you know, whoever does the right thing gets the right result. Because Duryodhana always looks at it, no, materially things are going good for me, and they're not going for the Pandavas. Therefore, I'm being supported, they're not. So who's saying that the demigods are on their side, not on our side? But he's not looking at it. No, there's the overall things. You can immediately do something. Just like, let's say, the doctor says, don't eat this, it'll make you sick. But you eat it anyway. While you're eating it, there's no problem. As soon as you finish eating, you're okay. But give it a little time. You know, a few hours, you get sick. So during that time, I'm eating like that. Does the doctor saying, or does he know like that? Look at my prowess. I'm so powerful, I can eat anything. You know, that's like very yoga. And so then, that's the problem. As people don't see is that, no, you have free will at any moment on what you want to do. You want to move forward in self-realization, or you want to move backwards. And so Dhritarashtra, not being a devotee, he's, you know, something inquisitive, but that inquisitive was based on fear. You know, and so then it's not moving forward yet. So we'll see when Krishna comes and how. So that'll be the next chapter. So then the Pandavas consult Krishna, and then after will be. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.